Whoa.
Yeah.
That's my new...
is that Joey Lawrence?
Yeah, from Blossom. Yeah. Whoa, Merlin.
I think it's just moved into the ironic zone. Yeah. Where I think you can use that. Yeah.
I'm going to hit O'Reilly's Web 2.0 Whoa conference.
That was stupid.
Yeah, really stupid.
You look nice today. A Journal of Emotional Hygiene.
Have you guys ever been in a fight?
Yeah.
No.
Really?
No, let's clarify. Like, have we ever gone like, you know what, you and me at 2 o'clock, we're going to meet and have fisticuffs versus like I was slammed against a locker for 2 minutes. Does that count as a fight?
I guess it doesn't because you weren't really, I had something like that happen to me too once where out of nowhere I was headbutted and lost a contact, but I didn't really fight back. It just,
I don't know if that counts. I think also the amount of time during the violence transaction that you were crying should have a big effect on how much of a fight it's considered.
Yeah. It's a negator,
right?
It's a negator.
Like, if you're crying like from before it starts, I don't think it gets to count.
And if your mom is the one who's doing the punching
and if you like had to stay home from school for a couple days.
Yeah.
Okay. No.
Yeah.
That's my answer. I have not.
Adam, have you ever been in a fight?
I've never been in an adult fight, although I've lived most of my life in fear of getting in a fight, to be honest.
Yeah.
Why? Do you feel like you're a hothead or something, or do you feel like you're going to
No. Just like, I'm afraid of my unbridled anger.
Yeah. I get that from you. I get that you are like, on the one hand, very in touch with a certain subset of your emotions,
mm-hmm.
and then there are others that are just... They're not even locked in a cabinet. They're like in a cabinet, and there's tape on the door. But any second, that could fly open.
Yeah. There's signs all the time. I'm very docile, normally. But sometimes I get worried that I could just snap.
Is it the same person every time, or is
no,
it...
No. It's usually just random. Somebody random and smaller than me.
I've been menaced as a child, and I've been like threatened. You know, when you live in Florida, you're always threatened.
Like species threatened, or
I'll tell you one that comes straight to mind. Is I was home from college for you know either interterm or you know Christmas mm-hmm. or you know summer or something. But I was home you know for a couple of weeks and visiting with friends and another friend that had been to college, and it was great because you know things were going really good. We're both in a good place and like it's so great. You know we're doing good stuff and we're you know studying stuff we enjoy and we're writing and just feel really engaged in ideas. And you know I remember we drove to the convenience store because you know if I get a six pack, just drink some beer and hang out. And I'll never forget that as we were just literally standing in front of the big glass. You know, refrigerated aisle, deciding what brand of domestic beer to buy. A man in like kind of coveralls, covered with you know drywall dust, walked by and said, "You fuckers must be in love."
What were you?
I don't know. I mean, we both enjoyed philosophy mm-hmm. and like Faulkner. So yeah. I've been menaced a lot. You get menaced a lot in Florida. That's just kind of the deal. Have you ever like been in an actual like were you in you lived in Japan for a while at one point? Right?
Yeah.
So did you ever get like a salaryman come like throw a briefcase at you?
Oh
like,
no, that never happened to me.
Because they drink a lot. Salaryman drinks a lot.
Yeah,
right?
The people that I'm angry at and the people who might accost me never match up. You know, the people who might accost me are like a random drunk guy, and the people that I'm angry at are the woman who cuts me off on the highway. So since those two things never intersect, there was a time. That happened. My wife and I, or my then
partner.
Yeah, my partner.
You're safest with partner.
No, my now wife and I were traveling on the train. We were this long train trip, and we were in Mongolia, and the train stopped at Ulaanbaatar, and a bunch of locals got onto the train, and we were checking it out because it was fucking Ulaanbaatar. So you know you're gonna stick your head out the window, right? And we're in the hall, and I look over, and it's just dawning on me that my wife was wearing a fanny pack.
she was asking for it.
Yeah, but she actually was wearing like somehow manages to make whatever she wears look cool. But she was wearing a fanny pack, and this guy, this Mongolian guy, had his fingers in her fanny pack and was clearly you know rooting around for money or wallet or passport or whatever. And I sort of subconsciously sized up the situation, saw that we were pretty much in the right. We were on this train. And so we had the support of the potential support of the rest of the staff of the train. And he was also about 5 feet tall.
A 5 foot man had his fingers in your wife's fanny.
Yeah. Yeah. And so
you're not a short fellow.
Right. Right. No, I was, you know, at least a good, you know, way more than a foot taller than this guy. And so I laid into him and I shoved him until, you know, I sort of did like the pick him up by the scruff of his neck and throw him off the train kind of thing. And it felt really good. And he sort of slunked away. So I don't know. That's not a fight though. I don't know what that is. That's a,
God, that's like,
that's heroism is what that,
yeah,
is.
Yeah. I mean, that's like,
I applaud you.
I totally,
God,
applaud,
damn,
you.
You're a badass.
I don't know. I'm not sure what I would do. First of all, I mean, like, so, but when it was over, were you like, your heart's beating and you're probably like, ugh, God, that was weird.
You start thinking, well, what if he comes back with all of his friends? When is this train going to get the hell out of here? And,
I mean, had you been in Ulaanbaatar before?
No, it's just that one time.
So did you have any sense of whether or not he was doing something that was considered inappropriate there? I mean,
oh my God.
Okay, so my thinking is like, sure, like maybe that was something that was like a very high honor, and you just beat the shit out of a 5 foot tall guy.
Oh my God! Like if you like the equivalent of when you meet a Mongolian here and you reach your hand out to shake their hand. And they punch you in the face.
Right, because that's their way of doing that. Or like a guy in the library tries to like suck somebody's toes. Like it's different in every culture.
Oh, wow.
What if he was the mayor and he was trying to give you the key to the city?
And he didn't want to embarrass you by like, because you know, in Ulaanbaatar, you have to reject the key to the city 7 times if it's offered to you. But if they can slide it into any kind of a vinyl pack that you have between your chest and your knees, then you have to accept it. That's considered local culture.
Wow, God, it's funny because this happened probably 10 years ago and I had never even considered the possibility. I skipped that whole chapter on Mongolian etiquette.
What was your wife's reaction? Was she like, you know, my hero?
You know, she's never, I think that's when I knew she was my wife, when I could, you know, fail to impress her even doing that.
Yeah, that's a match.
That's when I knew that there was something special. When she was like, "Oh, what was that? Oh, want to play cards?"
It's interesting. So, this is weird. I don't remember. It's like, somebody put like a little fortune in here. What is this? Oh, I am in desperate need of my family. Need much help. Problems. Mini. Contact embassy. Please, please. Life important.
It's kind of weird. I should. Too bad.
I don't remember that. Must be some kind of a quality assurance tag.
Yeah, like the inspected by 86. Like a long way of saying inspected by 86. We should have probably looked in this fanny pack before we got home.
We should find out if there's a podcast from a guy in Mongolia where he was menaced by a big gawky guy who didn't understand the local scene. Because either we might have some kind of, we could reach out. And we could maybe heal the wound.
Oh my gosh. I think that's a great idea. I'll look into it.
You know, maybe, I don't know, maybe you should apologize to Ulaanbaatar.
I'm just going to go Mongolia, because that was, I'm sorry, Mongolia. You're right.
Is that near Tuva at all, Adam? Is it kind of near Tuva?
Yeah, I think Tuva is on the northern and or southern tip of Mongolia.
And or.
It's not quite sure on my geography on that.
It's definitely or not on one of the tips.
It's probably on the northern southern end of Mongolia.
Boy, I tell you, okay. The only thing I remember from that city was lots and lots of giant rusty factories with lots of pipes. It really seemed like a bad place to live.
You're just digging in deeper.
Sounds like Detroit. Am I right?
High five.
Ah, God, I want to use Detroit jokes as often as I can.
Is there some sort of like anti-Detroit humor moratorium in effect or something?
I'm pretty sure since the early 80s, you can't do Detroit. It's passé.
Really?
Yeah, like, yeah, and it's kind of like, you know, flogging a dead horse,
it's,
right?
It's, I mean, picking right. on the easy. It's the easy joke.
Yeah.
Not even funny anymore.
Right.
Ulaanbaatar has a coat of arms.
Do they really?
And it's In its right hand is a key, a symbol of prosperity and openness. In its left hand is a lotus flower, which is a symbol, Scott Simpson. Uh-huh. It's a symbol of peace, equality, and purity.
What was I thinking?
In its talons, it is holding a snake.
Wait, it's got talons?
And it's a symbol of evil, of which it is intolerant.
Oh.
And on the Garuda's forehead is the Soyombo symbol, which is featured on the flag of Mongolia.
Is there?
And it's wearing a fanny pack.
And its country's getting its ass kicked by a big gawky
guy.
Yeah,
somewhere in the background is there the like, are they banishing a gawky guy from the country or something?
The great part about being an American is like, I could hear a story about a place that I don't know how to pronounce.
Right.
And then like, I could turn it into a joke that involves the one person I know who's been there. And I use Wikipedia and a single story to reduce the history of an entire people down to one joke that's not that funny.
Sounds like somebody owes Mongolia an apology.
So sorry. Yeah.
It's true. Actually, Adam, you're the only one who's not yet run afoul. You're the only one who still has a possibility of getting a visa.
Oh, I don't know. I fake throat sang.
That's true.
Back. That was pretty offensive.
Yeah. I almost had it the other day. I almost had the whistle. Now I'm having trouble with it.
Yes, you are.
But I'll tell you, that might get Van Hoot out of the house. Van Hoot would be a fantastic throat singer.
Oh, he's got
perfect body for it.
Well, he's got a big chest. We got a lot of lung.
Yeah, he does.
It's a big sunken chest. That's what I mean.
Oh, I know. When
you could use my chest for miniature golf. It's got a little kind of very fine kind of grass to it, and there's like a little hole in the middle, and a water effect.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Is there a windmill? A windmill or a pirate ship?
Lincoln with the swinging legs. Wow, this is a badass coat of arms.
Hands in a derby.
I like the descriptions of coat of arms more than the actual thing, because when somebody describes it, there are like 30 things in there. And then you look at it and you're like, it's kind of ugly. But when they describe a coat of arms, it's like a one-eyed deer rampant on a field of wheat checks.
Exactly. And I think it's like radio, where like you like fill in what you think it looks
right,
like.
Right.
Do you know the basic parts of a coat of arms? You got your shield, you got the field in charge, right? You got the crest. And then there's all these different things that can appear on there. Like at this point, it's like a logo making machine. It could be anything.
What does it mean to be rampant on?
Rampant. I think that means that's like when it's standing on its hind legs.
Okay. Okay.
Is that right? I need to look up rampant. I don't know.
But it's a formal designation of leggedness. So it's got three legs up or two legs up or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And if the horse is on three legs, it means they died in battle. Is that right?
That's right. I think there should be a Lonely Sandwich rampant in our coat of arms.
Oh, there's mini quadrupeds. Oh my God. I want to spend all of my time just on quadrupeds. Oh my God. Quadrupeds. You could be at bay, which means you're standing on 4 feet. You could be couchant, which means you're laying on the ground with your head raised. That sounds like you, Scott. You could be courant, which means you're running with the body horizontal and on all 4 feet raised. There's like 20 of these. You could be séjant erect, which means sitting on hindquarters 4 feet raised.
Wow.
Yeah. You could. There's all kinds of ways you can portray fish, serpents, birds, plants, bees. You can have a bee on your crest. Scallops.
Ooh.
You know, you're talking, I think at one point, Scott, you were talking about the male coat of arms disease.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And which is another thing that I think once we find the dream for the cream, we can move on to some of the other causes. But I think this is something that could, I don't know, help a lot of people.
I almost feel like we need a coat of arms, though, to really get into understand the condition or the disease.
I think everybody needs a coat of arms. I think because it's your way of saying, you know what it is? It's like one of those really annoying like blogger codes where you right. go and you fill in a bunch of details about what the hell you do with your little blog.
What's your purity score?
Yeah, like I have an armor class of 6 and I post way too much and talk about food. So this is I'm an IPSM or whatever. And I think that's what you're doing here. You're saying like with my coat of arms, I'm saying here's where I stand. Like I am a man supine next to 6 empty cans,
right?
With a
woman repelled in the background.
Yeah, and she's repulsive on rampant. I think that could. The thing is, it tells.
You guys reading the dictionary.
It tells a story, Adam. It says there's a bunch of scallops and bees, and a lion.
Probably some Twizzlers.
Yeah, it's like a big crazy party.
There's like a griffin eating. In mine, there's definitely a griffin eating Good and Plenty.
I don't know. I mean, I'm seeing here you got serpents and salamanders and dragons. There's all kinds of animals. You can have flowers, fruits, trees. Oh my gosh, you can bring in the weather. Did you know that? You can have a snowball. You can have
what?
A snowball. I'll admit, I am reading the internet. I'm on the Wikipedia page for charge, paren, heraldry.
Well, and this won't be interesting unless we all read that Wikipedia article at the same time.
I'm not looking at that shit.
You can have a harp. You could have a harp on there. You could have a book. Oh, you can put a book on there.
I know for a fact that the one I made in whatever third or fourth grade had a book.
Do you remember? You remember what book that might have been?
It may have been a monster manual.
Mm. Wow, that young?
Or a Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I'm not sure. Maybe, I don't know.
Mine would have been Henry Huggins, probably. Rampant on a field of me eating lunch alone. C-. You know, C- on a field of, for the love of God, stop pummeling me.
At bay on a field of angry bullies.
You could have a cogwheel. You can have keys. You could put a building on there. You could put a little castle. You could have buckles, crowns and coronets, hats and mitres. Ooh, Scott, you love Pope hats.
Sure. I like Pope hats. I like handles. I like a handle on a Pope hat. That's probably something that would be on my coat of arms.
You just solved a lot of people's problems right there.
Everybody loves Pope hats, but they're so not portable.
Can't pick it up.
Well, they're very sharp. It's like It would be like wearing a knife on your head.
It's like once you're wearing it, it's like stilts. Once you're wearing it, you're fine.
Yeah, it's like an ecclesiastical faux hawk. Adam, what would you? Do you have any sense of what you'd want? Would you have like maybe a shuriken, like a throwing star on yours?
That'd be pretty cool.
Maybe an empty toilet paper roll.
Oh yeah.
With just the last scraps.
And an apology.
Handwritten apology. Maybe, I know for a fact that when I was 12, my crest had a telephone on it because it represented how I like to talk to my friends, and my friends are important to me.
Oh.
Well, that's pretty good. Yeah.
Well, it's symbolism.
Now mine would have a microphone, a USB microphone on it.
Right. And a Spanish teacher.
Yeah. Just cut out of a magazine and paste it on. Just totally obscuring the rest of the coat of arms. It was not to scale. I'm sorry.
she's rampant on me. I think this is something that could help a lot of people.
I agree.
I mean, because here's the thing for me. Like, I thought here's everything I thought I knew about heraldry, is like you get a shield.
Like a deer.
And it may, well, you know, I thought maybe you get a lion and a crown and like some kind of, I don't know, something else. You get a couple things, a sword. I had no idea that you could put a scallop on your shield. Like, you know, like I love beef. So like maybe I would have like a nice pommes frites. Like have some French fries and a little steak and, you know, like a router.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah.
I would probably have a bowl of cereal, if I'm being honest. And a flashlight, I guess, because just to be safe.
I'd like to see you with a tureen of whiskey and some ibuprofen.
Yeah. Then you're looking at my life. You're looking at me right now.
Rampant on a field of cab rides.
Wow. That just cut to some sort of very essential core.
I also like the idea of rampant ibuprofen. I'm going to work on this. I'm going to, like, I don't want to take all the time that we've got here for our program. I'm going to go back and I'm going to work on my coat of arms.
But are we saying we need one for the show? Is that right?
Yeah.
I think everybody needs one, but the show definitely needs one. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I'd say, you know, not to formalize it too much, but let's maybe practice on our own coat of arms and then, And then maybe just throw it out to the fun bunch to see.
But see, the fun bunch could maybe toss out what would appear. Yeah, and I think this is great. And maybe we'll do like a little coloring book version. You know, here's your shield.
Nice.
You need to go find your own good and plenty.
I'm a professional voice actor.
Okay, so I'm standing in line and I hear them kind of tittering. Twittering? They were tittering about the bird poop on my shoulder.
Oh, right.
One of them goes... you should fight him. And I don't know what that really means in the, you know, in the parlance of lesbian toughy gangs, but I'm pretty sure it meant that they wanted to fight me outside. And then they started like playing with my hair, like
what?
Flicking
Are you kidding?
Flicking my hair? No.
What? This is like something from Cinemax.
Yeah, from Cinemax and my fears in junior high.
If you took out the words, if you took out all the words, this is kind of hot. So you're basically saying a bunch of girls came up behind you and started playing with your hair?
Sounds like, that sounds like that part in The Warriors.
Threatening to kick my ass. So I got my burger and then, you know, I was just envisioning that, oh, well, this sucks. I'm drunk. I'm going to have to go. As soon as I leave this establishment, I'm going to have to go out in the parking lot and defend myself. I don't know where I am. I'm not going to know how to get back to my hotel, and I'm going to get my ass kicked.
Yeah.
It's a good end to the story because I didn't get my ass kicked. I had my burger and I went home. But there was the threat. That's all I'm saying.
What do you think was going on? You think they were just like you know, being kind of low level bullies?
You know, I think that people can smell fear, and they smelled it on me.
Yeah.
And bird shit. Hmm. Bird poop.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's worse than getting pooped on by a bird is getting pooped on by a person. Like you're walking home from work, and just all of a sudden, out of the blue,
yeah,
it's like on your shoulder.
They love to nest and like kind of sit on wires.
Yeah, yeah. In Austin, in big groups, in big packs. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you have to, you know, you look up and you see 40 or 50 people up on the phone wire. You're like, I'm gonna get.
And they try to put those spiky wires up to keep them away, but they're smart. They know.
Yeah. I once looked out the window and saw a person eating from my bird feeder. Because you know what? You put up the anti personnel defenses, and they get around them. They got around the Claymore mine. They got around the alarm system. They got around a lot of stuff to get to that bird seed.
You win this one, sir.
Yeah,
you win this
that's
one.
Right. That's right. Gosh, Adam, I haven't been bullied in a while. I don't know what happened that made me not be bullied anymore, but I think it's just that I really will give somebody like a fuck you look. I just don't fucking care anymore. I don't care if like getting beat up is a consequence. I will look at somebody and be like, really, man, really?
You do this?
Oh, absolutely. Especially if I'm drunk. If I'm drunk, it's the worst. I can't. It doesn't make any sense that I haven't.
You seem like this is. I'm going to use a word I just learned on the Common Grackle page. You seem gregarious to me. You seem very gregarious. I've seen you, and I saw you last night after having a tureen of whiskey, and you were full of jollity.
I don't get angry. I mean, I would never. I don't think I'm a person who gets angry.
But your extreme alcohol intake gives you a kind of a roomy, red-rimmed look that's menacing to other people.
No. I would disagree with that assessment. I would say
that... You give them the stink eye?
I would say that if I'm a recipient of the stink eye, or if I'm a recipient of shitty behavior, I think there's no patience or in me anymore. I mean, maybe if it's like a giant gang of 14-year-old kids who clearly don't give a fuck, I guess I would be a little more scared, but...
Oh, that's terrifying. Are you kidding me?
That is scary. That is scary. Because that's when you look at those guys, that's when you see people who are looking for trouble.
They have nothing to lose. They're different from us.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They don't think like we do.
The MySpace generation.
they don't have a podcast. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, nothing to lose.
They gotta have something to put on their MySpace pages. Otherwise, it just stays blank.
What's the new thing? What's the new where you go up to drive through and you throw the soda on the person working there? There's a term for it. Just read about it. It's a YouTube phenomenon. It's like hotboxing or something. It's like happy slapping. It's called fire in the hole. That's what the kids are doing right now.
You throw a beverage on somebody and make a video of that?
Oh, fuck. Yeah. I was walking down the street once, and guys, I heard a car making a really loud bunch of kids inside, and they looked over, and God, I don't even remember what they had. They had maybe a cap gun or something, but it looked like a gun pointed at me, and they fired it, and it was it made like a loud, you know, like a cap gun sound.
That's a mock execution. That's what that
it
is.
It was scary. Like I had that where your scalp tingles for 5 minutes or so afterwards, and you just feel freaked out. Yeah, that was mean.
Yeah,
the fact that it was my wife and sister in the car made it. It didn't take the edge off.
You ever have kids throw those snappers at you?
No, but I that would
the little poppy noise things.
God,
I've only been pooped on by a bird twice in my life, and it happened on the same day.
Weird.
Yeah.
That seems like something like James Burke should try to explain.
I was walking home from work, and right when I left the building, I got pooped on, and I was pretty grossed out, and I looked, and whatever. I was about to walk home, so I didn't really care, but it was gross. And, 20 minutes later, in a totally different part of the city, I got pooped on again by a totally different bird. I assume it was a different bird. I mean, it could have been the same bird
with
following me, but I assume a different bird. A different bird pooped on me. And at that point, like the second bird pooped on me, I thought, well, something's going to happen. I'm going to find out I have cancer, or get fired, or my wife's going to leave me, or something. Like, I just thought there's no omen is more obvious than getting pooped on by a bird twice in one day when you've never been pooped on.
Do you get that superstitious?
That's telling you something.
About things like that.
I'm not superstitious, but I guess some piece of me wants to be. And so when something like that happens, I just sort of look around like, okay, God.
Here I am. Shit on me a third time, then it's over.
Here I am, God.
So here's one quick story. This is in line with what we're talking about. In high school, my school had like a battle of the bands kind of thing during lunch, and if you were in a band, you were invited to play. So my band was slotted to play. So I'm playing. I'm up on stage.
That was the name. That was the name of your band, slotted to play.
On at 4:30. That's what we were called.
Oh, that's what you're called. Okay.
So I'm up there. We're playing, and then I get hit by guacamole, and I'm like.
Like a snowball,
like
of guacamole?
Like a little cup,
I don't know. It was
cup
a dollop.
Of
it was a large dollop of guacamole. Hits me square in the chest, and I'm like, ah, come on, who throws guacamole? Seriously, guys. And then I look over and like, because it was kind of where the outside cafeteria was, and there was just a group of kids that were just kind of. It was a random. It wasn't like a directed at me. So I told myself. And so my therapist told myself, but yeah, I was hit by guacamole, and that totally crushed my Battle of the Bands day.
That's a spirit killer.
Yeah.
Guacamole symbolically, guacamole in a coat of arms represents disappointment and the loss of dreams. So if you ever do see guacamole either in your dreams or in a coat of arms, it means that somebody or some animal was disappointed.
I thought that was like a harbinger. Like I thought when you got hit by guacamole, I thought the green meant there was going to be money, good fortune coming.
Well, that didn't.
Maybe that's the Celtic version, and I'm talking about the Germanic version.
See, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Now I would not enjoy that at all. I've never been hit by a condiment that I can remember. But teenagers can be cruel. You know, you got to make your bones, and sometimes you're just going to have to hit somebody. With a little bit of salsa.
And finally,
I got to be careful with the marijuana. That takes a piece out of me.
Me too.
I got to be real careful.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why I smoked it so much, but I'm not the target demo for biologically. I'm not right for marijuana. It makes me all hyper. It doesn't mellow me out.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it for a good
really?
five years. Yeah, 5 years of my life. I loved the crap out of some marijuana, and then it just kind of took over and destroyed my life for the next year or two, and I had to give it up.
It's easy to get into a habit. I've noticed that a lot of people, it's funny because a lot of people get into their, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, and they seem like, you know, regular, normal people, but they're still having a lot of marijuana.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't see how you can do that and have a family and responsibilities and stuff. But I guess, like, more power to the people that can handle it all and balance it. And I'm really impressed by that. I could not do it.
Yeah.
Me neither.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes me pass out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I passed out on a couple occasions from eating marijuana.
Oh, okay.
And, boy, I learned my lesson.
Yeah. That's a tough one.
So that's the great danger of it for you, is that you just become comatose, or does it do other things?
So far.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like if I really push the envelope, I might be able to find something even worse. But I think the warning is the two times I've done it that it made me pass out, it's really saying, don't do this 11 more times. Like, you know, you're only going to get so many of these little warnings before something really bad happens, you know? Like, I might throw, like, guacamole at somebody or something.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But, you know, I enjoyed this point in my life where I enjoyed it a lot, you know? And it's, it was, but you know, the thing is, it would make me very lethargic and I would get paranoid and, you know, I didn't enjoy that. That's not a turn on.
No. Yeah, no. Makes you laugh though. You laugh and laugh.
See, I didn't laugh.
Yeah.
I would never laugh. Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't, because that's the other weird thing about that drug is that it has such weirdly different effects. Like on ecstasy, you have a pretty fair chance that a person on ecstasy is going to put their hands on your face at some point in the next 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know, but pot.
That's the cover charge for ecstasy. Yeah. Like, somebody's going to want to talk about your hair and touch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But pot, there's never a really standard set of responses. Like I said, I got hyper and kind of anxiety ridden. But
that sounds like a nice way to spend the weekend.
But on the good side, there was also, you know, just a new perspective on thinking about things, which, you know, was important to me.
That's the high point of that drug. That's why I probably did it for as long as I did. And the other drawback is that I ate everything all the time, and also that I would sit and do nothing and not have a job and watch The Little Rascals all day.
I just did a spit take when you said ate everything. Because I just imagine you literally eating everything.
Everything. Furniture. No, like literally jars of
that. not like gobbling it, but just like methodically.
Robot. Like, yeah, exactly. Huge. Just a chip full at a time of that, jars of microwavable Tostitos cheese or whatever.
Dead black doll-like eyes as you just sit at a table and grimly shove food in your mouth.
Yes.
While deconstructing the Little Rascals.
Oh, God.
Oh, deconstructing. That's a word that, like, most of us should not have been
taught. Yeah, probably not. Deconstructing.
No, not at all.
Very well.
I used it perfectly. It's a pothead kind of word. Because really what it means is, like, trying to find a lot of profundity in, like, Gilligan's Island. You call that deconstructing.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but before then, you know, when you didn't have, like, some, like, French philosopher, you know, to give you some kind of a name for it, you would just sit around and talk about TV, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, probably like what? Like Alice B. Toklas. They probably talked about whatever their version of TV was in the 20s, right? Like she and Gertrude Stein would sit around and get wasted, and what they talk about? The Window,
or Al Jolson or something.
Yeah, it's like he's black, but he's also white.
He's white because he's a Jew.
Yeah,
and then the Jews and the blacks.
Whoa, slow down! What?
When it's in black and white, it's all the same, man.
Oh my God.
And it's like music.
Yeah. So you're saying that's what they did, and they didn't call it deconstructing.
Yeah. But the thing is,
they called it the Lindy Stein.
The trouble was Gertrude Stein would get really high, and she'd be around Alice B. Toklas, and she'd just start eating everything.
Yeah, that's right. Did you know that Alice B. Toklas was actually not a person, but a prototypical Wii controller?
This has been You Look Nice Today, featuring Lonely Sandwich, Scott Simpson, and Hot Dogs Ladies. Thank you.
Are you selling? Are you saying you would consider like a self-filleting piece of heraldry?
I'm just saying. I'm trying to be.
Somebody might want that. That's
listen.
One.
When I'm filling out. These days I don't care anymore. When I fill out a questionnaire about myself, or when I try to take a personality assessment of myself, I'm no longer aspirational. I try to be truly descriptive. And I see a chicken eating a bowl of cereal and a man giving himself a blowjob on my coat of arms. And probably a beer and how can you represent quashed hope? Is there an easy way to do that?
Let's go like maybe ice cream cone where the ice cream's falling off the
yeah,
cone.
Something like that. Yeah.
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 I think it's just going to be me looking real chunky, sitting in front of a computer disappointing people.